But come whenever you want.
Am I picking up mum or is it not a mum thing?
Sugar, I forgot to tell mum.
Do you want mum to come?
She might be at church though.
Don't make her choose between God and us, because you know who'll win.
Digital learning that's dramatically different. Welcome to this TED Learning podcast.
Hiya and welcome to the TED Learning podcast. I'm Lou and you're also going to hear from my sister Jocelyn. We're here to chat to you about the things that inspire us during Black History Month. We come from a big family where I'm number six, you're
number five.
So in our family we have four girls and two boys, and growing up in a big family comes with a whole wealth of stories, but I think something that I've always been really passionate about is celebrating our mum. Mm-hmm. She came to this country 17th or 18th birthday,
I think.
17th. 17th birthday. Mm-hmm. She flew on her birthday and landed in this country, cold, dark, all the things that that kind of generation tell us about their experience when they came here in the early 60s. And she came, met our dad, and obviously went on to build a family and have us. But I think what always makes me so proud of our mum is the amazing work she's done with her voluntary work. Mm-hmm. So knowing that our dad passed away when we were young, mum continued to raise us single-handedly, which deserves a medal in itself. We're looking after six of us running around. But she then, as time went on, went to carve out her own life and kind of follow some of her own ambitions and passions. And we know with our mum, she is deeply religious and spiritual. That's coming from her time in Barbados, where she was going to church as a little girl. So for her to volunteer to be a chaplain, I thought was quite a new thing. And I don't know about you, but when mum first said she was going to do it, I had no idea what a chaplain was.
I know what you mean.
I remember when she told me, I was like, what's that? And she was like, oh, don't you? I was like, I'd never heard of it. But basically, if you don't know what a chaplain is, I don't know how much of a tradition it is nowadays, but it tends to happen in workplaces where someone will come in, they're from a particular faith, in our mum's instance, Christian faith, and they provide pastoral care. So they keep an eye on employees, they talk to people, make sure they're okay in their work and personal lives, and they're just a nice positive presence to have around. She's not there to convert people to the Christian faith or to invite people to church, unless they want to come, but she is there to just be a nice positive presence. And the fact that this year she celebrated 20 years of being a volunteer chaplain, I thought has been incredible.
Yeah, it is. It is an amazing achievement, considering, you know, it's fair to say, and mum would acknowledge this, that she didn't have a university education. She's the oldest of quite a few kids, I think 9 or 10.
10, I think.
I know one was lost in infancy. And I think mum demonstrates, is an example certainly within our family, of that resilience and strength and courage. And certainly after we lost dad, you know, it's like their, all of the strength and courage went into mum. So she continued on with their legacy and their plans, as I'm sure many other Black Caribbean women did. But mum kind of had this mission. And then she also had the foresight to say, well, the kids are getting older now and finishing their education. They don't need me hands-on as much, although she's still very much there for us whenever we need her. So then for her to go on, because she went on and completed some qualifications in terms of her education to give her more confidence, and then wanted to work within the community using her Christian faith. And I think actually it's a very, even though chaplaincy has been around for a very long time, I think it's a very modern way to sort of bring the Christian faith into the workplace, albeit that it doesn't matter if people have a faith or not.
Yeah, it's not heavy-handed, is it?
Yeah, they can still spend time with her or feel that she's there to listen. We've laughed and someone called her the listen lady. But actually that element of her life experience of being widowed at a young age, but then also her life, you know, sort of up to about 16, 17 in Barbados, then her life with dad, and then at the age of 35 being widowed, and then going beyond that now as a grandmother and being retired, makes her a pretty good chaplain. Then if you put her faith on top, because she's seen so much, and, you know, if one of us had said to her at 17, I'm off to Spain to marry a man that I've met, a few times, and I know his family, she wouldn't have let us go. So the leap of faith that she took part of her Christian faith, of her belief in the relationship her and dad had, yeah. and what they'd already, you know, connected over. Mm. And then to know that our dad was here when she got to the UK, he was there waiting for her, and they built that life together, albeit tragically cut short, I think really gives her an edge as a chaplain. We're obviously biased, yeah, but it gives her an edge because she's seen the length and breadth of life and what twists and turns it can be can bring, but also then the joy and the celebration of getting us all to adulthood safely and seeing grandchildren. And it is, it's such an achievement. And to be the only black chaplain on the circuit for Reading Borough Council as well, it's really important.
And to think she was only going to do it as a trial for a short period of time. And I think what's been lovely, we had a celebration for the 20th anniversary, and I think what was lovely was seeing the people, the staff, how much they appreciate her. Mm. I think she'll never probably really appreciate and understand how many people she's helped and supported, because over the years, 20 years of meeting so many different staff and people who confided in her about their personal situation, talked to her about work, you know, it would make me laugh when she would be saying, oh, I'm going out because someone's having a leave-in do and she's going to meet them for drinks, you know, and oh, okay. She built up a friendship with people there, but also was able to provide them the comfort that they need from memorial services if a member of staff passed, or being part of the Christian Union, or just being having meetings with the chief exec. You know, that has been lovely. And I think it's been nice to see her blossom and grow in that role and to really call it her own, even though it was something she was only going to do for a short period of time. And I think for me, why I am so proud of her in that role is as a people, we have always had so much to contribute. We've always given so much to this country. When someone like Mum comes from Barbados and makes a life here, she, you know, she has worked, volunteered, and there's so many of our community who do great things, but sometimes people don't realise that it realised the voluntary work. I know people who have been involved in social services or been involved in supporting young people at youth groups, but no one really knows about it. And sometimes I get so frustrated because I'm like, why don't you tell people more widely and celebrate all the good things that you've done in your community? Because like Mum, there's so many people in our community who do such great work, but for some reason it doesn't always get talked about. And I think sometimes it's something where we're so humble, because Mum is. Mm. She hates a fuss. When I say, oh, that people have, you know, read an article that we've written about her, she gets so embarrassed. She's almost not used to that. She's happy to keep working and doing good things, but doesn't expect to be recognised for it. And I find that really interesting.
I think it's a generational thing as well. Yeah. That it's, well, you just got on and did it. You just had to, because when they came here to this country in those early years, they didn't necessarily have a lot of support. You know, Mum and Dad didn't have their parents come to the UK. It was just the two of them as a young couple. Thank goodness they had some really great support, some sponsors who came from their villages also in Barbados. Like, you know, Dad knew quite a few people anyway. There was quite a high concentration of Bajans, of Barbadians in Reading. So they also became like surrogate family to each other and helped to raise each other. So I think there was an element of, well, we've just got to get on. And actually that strength and that courage, you know, when I have days where I think I can't do something, I look to her strength and courage, but also the wider cohort around her. So the lady who delivered you, Mrs. Myers, who was on duty, who's your godmother, actually she raised a large family as well with her husband, still lives in the same home that they always had in Caversham. And actually that strength, you know, to be a black midwife who happened to be on duty the night you were born, but all of the people she's helped within the Reading community. And if you asked her, she'd probably be quite, you know, chilled about it. But actually, having that trust in someone who helps you to bring that new life into the world is so important. Yeah. But again, they just saw it as, well, this is just what I do. I just go out and help people. And I think as well, in a wider context, so many women of a certain age aren't necessarily seen in society as being useful. So I think it's so important that these women across the board are celebrated, but certainly from a Black History Month point of view, from a Black female and Caribbean point of view, and Black African point of view, that the wealth of experience and knowledge and you know, guidance that they've given to their communities around them, whichever backgrounds they've been from, and certainly mum has played a role in that, is so important. And, you know, the mural in Reading that depicts lots of people in there, so not only the history, but then also people who have, you know,
Shirley Graham-Paul, another midwife,
who have put so much into the Reading community, and actually then people tend to then, you know, that spreads out, so not just to Reading and Berkshire, but then wherever people go, they take that with them.
So how do we keep the legacy going? Because all these people that we've grown up with that have contributed to the community in terms of business, you know, like you say, healthcare in the NHS, they might have driven the buses, they might have, you know, been writers or run local football teams and sports teams, all these different people, may they still be here with us or they're gone. How do we keep their legacy? Because these are such powerful people from our Black community, and in terms of Black culture and history, how do we keep it going? I'm not saying I have the answers, but how do you sustain and keep that, so that future generations understand that and know that when they come to Reading or other parts, they understand that actually this town is built off the backs and the shoulders of those individuals?
I mean, there have been more projects that have come up recently. So there was a project I was involved in with Reading Museum, and the videos are included on there, where people talk about those early experiences of coming. Yeah. And what we tried to do on that project is not only reflect those who came in the 50s and 60s, but then their descendants as well, because it's now running into their grandchildren. And there's something to be said that our nieces and nephews who are in their kind of late teens and early 20s, how do we keep them connected to Black history? Because actually, in their everyday lives, and because things are changing for the better, and I'm really positive about that change, it's still important for them to reference and see, you know, those roles. You know, we always laugh and say our mum's hands are really strong because of the amount of kind of stuff that she had to just
baking,
do.
Baking, cooking, cleaning.
Yeah, baby on hip, sorting the washing out, and, you know, but that and also that mental strength as well. But I think there's something to be said for sort of doing a, it might not be a mural, but a modern or an up-to-date sort of book on these are the sort of families and these are the parentage, but then this is what the kind of the foundations they laid, then what their children went on and did. And we see that right across the board, culturally, right across the country, that being given the opportunity to be born and raised in this country has helped us then to keep supporting our communities and the economy and every aspect of it, you know, through right through business to transport to food to education,
fashion, music,
exactly,
film, yeah,
it continues. Whether people came here as small children, which was the case with some of the people I interviewed on the project of Reading Museum, or they were born here like ourselves, and have just kept giving and giving through our work and, you know, various projects.
That's all from us. You can search the TED Learning podcast or go to the website tedlearning.co.uk.